fines are coming down this week on two companies that separately violated user privacy and compromised people's data in a massive security breach. On Monday, the Federal Trade Commission announced that credit reporting agency Equifax agreed to pay up to $700 million to help compensate the victims of hackers who stole data from Equifax customers. Then yesterday, the FTC handed down a finalized $5 billion fine to Facebook for privacy violations. And it granted federal regulators access to Facebook's business decisions for the next two decades. What are your questions about consumer protection and how personal data may be at risk? What do you want to know? What will change around privacy in the wake of these settlements? We're at 800-642-1234. Stacey Cowley is a finance reporter for the New York Times. She focuses on consumer issues and data security. Stacey, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So before we get to Facebook, let's start with Equifax. The credit reporting agency agreed to this up to $700 million. How significant is this settlement?
It's an interesting mix. It is a record amount of money for a settlement like this. So it's certainly the largest settlement we've seen of this type for a data breach. However, it does not involve any significant new restrictions on what data Equifax can collect or what it can do with it, which is something that I think consumers were widely talking about in the wake of this kind of breach.
Oh, so it doesn't necessarily have to change any of its ways that got itself into this position before?
It is required to do some additional spending on cybersecurity to beef up its defenses, which was something it had already agreed to in previous settlement with some state regulators. So it is going to have to spend more money, make stronger efforts to protect its data, but this didn't really put any new restrictions on its ability to collect that data in the first place, or any new restrictions on what it's allowed to do with it as part of its business.
Remind us what happened in 2017. How many people were affected by the data breach and what went down?
So Equifax has credit files on hundreds of millions of people worldwide, and in this case, it was a huge number of people that were affected. 147 million people were affected by Equifax's loss of a portion of that data. The sort of good news was that the data they lost was sensitive, but not the most sensitive it had. The information that was stolen on most of the 147 million people who were affected was things like social security number, name, address, details like that. It wasn't the core information in people's credit files. The hackers did not get information on your personal finances, your personal financial accounts, things like that. But 147 million people's social security numbers and names are now out there in someone else's hands.
Yeah, and social security numbers are, those can unlock doors, certainly. They're very sensitive.
Yes, so, this was certainly information that should not have gotten out there publicly.
And how did the breach affect victims? How have we seen people impacted?
Well, that's one of the interesting parts of this, is that that data is not known to have publicly surfaced anywhere. Equifax has said they haven't seen it available for sale or posted publicly anywhere. Law enforcement officials have said the same. So although we still don't actually know who the attackers were, they have never been publicly identified, that information has not come out, which doesn't mean it can't in the future. The presumption among cybersecurity experts was that this was probably some sort of nation-state attack. So that data may never be publicly available, but it's certainly out there in the hands of people who are not supposed to have it.
I recall in 2017, you were able to find out if you were one of the people whose data had been compromised. Can you still find out if you were part of this breach?
Yes. So if anyone's wanting to find out if they are part of the breach, the first place to go is the website EquifaxBreachSettlement.com. That's an official website that's set up by the group that's going to administer the breach settlement. And there's a tool on there where you type in your last name, you type in a portion of your social security number, and it will tell you if you are one of the 147 million people who were affected.
We're talking with Stacey Cowley. She is a finance reporter at the New York Times. Was your data or your friends or family's data leaked in the Equifax breach? How did you find out? How did it affect your life? Join in the conversation with your questions, your reaction to the settlement, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Stacey, how can people who've been affected by the breach file a claim for compensation? And what does compensation look like here?
So the way to file a claim is right through that same website, EquifaxBreachSettlement.com, and it is currently accepting claims. So you can go on there right now and start filling it out and put your claim into the queue. The settlement that the lawyers involved in this negotiated for consumers involves two kind of core things. For every single person whose data was exposed, you're eligible for 10 years of free credit monitoring or some other compensation along those lines. If you've already paid for your own credit monitoring service, you can put in for a refund for the money you've paid, and you'll be able to take advantage of that service to kind of keep an ongoing watch on your data. The other thing, which was novel and the sort of first time we've seen this kind of thing in this kind of settlement, is the consumer lawyers who represented consumers in this settlement made a real point of saying, look, even if people's data is not publicly out there, even if we don't know if any fraud was committed because of this, people spent a lot of time and effort and energy dealing with this, and they can put in for compensation for that. So if you, for instance, bought credit monitoring services, spent time on the phone with banks or financial services providers trying to deal with this, you can put in for compensation at up to $25 an hour for that time that you spent.
Oh, okay. And so that can then equate to a monetary, a dollar amount as to what your compensation you would ask, you know, what it could look like.
Yes. And the lawyers felt that was important. They said, look, people spent their time dealing with this. They should be compensated for that time.
We have a caller here who couldn't stay with us from Toma and was asking if the breach could be responsible for all the telemarketing calls that this person gets. But as you said, this hasn't surfaced elsewhere, this data. So could it be linked at all to telemarketing?
Not that we know of, but one of the challenges with this is that because we still don't know publicly who took it, what they've done with it, there are questions. I mean, officially, law enforcement and Equifax say there's been no signs of any actual impact on consumers linked to this. But again, that's something we may not know the real answer to for years.
So how did hackers get access to this information in the first place? Where were the fault lines inside Equifax?
This all started with one little mistake inside Equifax. There was a known vulnerability in one of their software systems. There had been public advisories telling companies using this software to issue a fix, patch a problem with it. Equifax missed those and didn't, and the attackers got in through this known vulnerability, and from there, very carefully executed this fairly sophisticated attack to use that access, leverage it to access to other databases, quietly sit in the network, and quietly extract data for about 3 months before they were caught.
Wow, 3 months it went on without any interruption.
Yeah, that was part of the scandal in response to this was both that Equifax hadn't patched that software in the first place, but also that its intrusion detection systems weren't working properly. So it didn't know for several months that it had been violated.
We are looking at Federal Trade Commission settlements over data privacy, over security enforcement under the law. We're talking about Equifax right now. Stacey Cowley covers finance for the New York Times and focuses on consumer issues and data security. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Was your data leaked in the Equifax breach? Did you look yourself up? How did you realize what had happened? And how has it affected your life? Have you equated the time you've spent on it with a dollar amount? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll get back to this conversation in just a minute here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about settlements coming out of the Federal Trade Commission surrounding the enforcement of data security and privacy. This week, the Federal Trade Commission finalized the two largest fines for data security and privacy violations the agency has ever approved. There was Equifax, accused of failing to adequately patch a security flaw, enabling hackers to gather private information on about 147 million people, and Equifax will pay up to $700 million for that data breach. And then there's Facebook. We heard yesterday a record $5 billion settlement was finalized over the company's privacy policies. Have you ever heard of Equifax before the data breach? Did you realize that you may have had your personal information accessed? What did you do? 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Stacey Cowley is a finance reporter for the New York Times, and she stays with us. Stacey, states will get money out of the Equifax settlement. Wisconsin is getting just north of $2 million. What will states do with this money, and how are they settling here with Equifax?
Many of them are going to use it to continue their consumer protection efforts. When states get money in fines like this, it typically goes back into their investigative funds to cover their costs of this investigation and future ones along these lines.
What has Equifax said about all of this? Has the company said it will change its security policies?
It has certainly been completely roiled by this. The scandal forced out its CEO, forced out several other top officials. They have publicly committed to being the best corporate actor in America when it comes to security policies. They have done a lot of new hiring in that area, put a lot more investment into it, and at least publicly, very publicly committed to reforming and making sure that nothing like this can ever possibly happen again.
But how do we know? I mean, how do we know that's not just a front, or whether that will really work? I mean, do companies really have to step up their game here?
Well, there has been increased attention from regulators, particularly some state regulators, interestingly, to that issue. New York State came out with a bunch of additional cybersecurity rules that large corporations, anyone who does business in the state, is now required to comply with. I think we do see regulators and overseers paying more proactive attention to this in annual checks and things like that, really taking a look to make sure the companies have good cybersecurity policies, that they're actually enforcing them, that they're actually taking the steps they need to proactively to prevent things like this. But as we've also seen, large data breaches continue to happen almost constantly. So I think it's fair to say Equifax is genuinely committed to reforming and making sure that this kind of thing does not happen again to it. That doesn't mean we're not going to see similar things happen at other companies.
Let's bring in a call now. Tom is joining us from Burlington. Good morning, Tom.
I just typed in my website that she gave me, and they asked me to put in my six numbers, the last six numbers of my Social Security, and then it comes out, thank you, your account has been impacted by this thing. Unbelievable. And so then I guess now I can file a claim online. If you want to submit a hard copy, then it goes into this whole thing. The blood just dropped to my feet. I can't tell you what it's like.
So, Tom, you didn't realize until now, until you entered in your information, that you were part of this breach. Yeah.
You guys just gave me the number of the website a while ago, and so I typed it in, and that's what I got. It told me that my account has been impacted. Unbelievable.
Tom, thanks for the call. Stacey, it sounds like, too, that even though this breach happened in 2017, that people will still hear during the settlement start to find out that they were part of this.
Yeah, I think it was a sufficiently, most people had never heard of Equifax before this. The credit bureaus are not something that people necessarily pay attention to on a daily basis. So I think a lot of people are still finding out for the first time that they were caught up in this.
Does this send a signal that the Federal Trade Commission is becoming a bit, cracking down a bit more on privacy?
I think there's certainly, yes, they're paying more attention to it. They also have some constraints on what they can do. It was interesting. The fines that Equifax paid to the federal government for this went to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Equifax didn't pay any fine to the FTC, in part because the FTC has no legal ability to impose fines for most first-time violations. The record $5 billion fine we saw on Facebook, that was because they had previously sanctioned Facebook for its privacy policies, and that did give them the ability to go after them for a second violation. But that is a challenge the FTC faces. It has primary federal responsibility for overseeing data security, and yet it has limited powers to punish companies when they overstep.
Well, let's look at Facebook here for a moment. $5 billion seems like a lot of money that Facebook is having to settle here over privacy violations. What went on?
Well, that's a record amount. It's certainly a huge amount of money for you or me. It's also something that's not a huge amount of money for Facebook. Its quarterly profits are still pretty, you know, unfazed by this. They dropped slightly, but the company is still making lots and lots of money. What went on here in this case, though, was that Facebook got sanctioned not for collecting the data and not for necessarily what it did with the data, but for not being clear to users about what it was going to do with the data. So the core of what Facebook got punished here for was transparency, was for not being upfront with users about what it was collecting and what it was doing with that. Interestingly, the punishment did not actually restrict Facebook's ability to collect this kinds of data. It simply said you have to be very transparent with users when you do that.
So it was collecting data unbeknownst to the user and then turning around and selling it or using it in some way?
In this case, the core of what happened with Cambridge Analytica, which was the core of what got Facebook on people's radar about this, was that it was allowing a third party to collect user data and remove user data from the platform and not being very clear to users that that was happening.
And the federal government, I understand, will be able to have a direct hand in seeing how Facebook goes forward with transparency. What does that look like in terms of Facebook's reporting to federal regulators?
There will be increased monitoring. They will certainly be paying closer attention to how Facebook lives up to the promises it made in this latest agreement. So there will be ongoing attention to this issue on behalf of the FTC, and certainly lawmakers are now paying more attention to this.
You have written that the Equifax breach in particular showed just how little control we have over our personal data. What do you mean by that?
One of the great frustrations for people with Equifax is that there is no way to remove yourself from its databases. You are not Equifax's customer, you are its product. So you can exercise some limited control about what Equifax does with your data. You can freeze your credit files, for example, and prevent new lines of credit from being opened. But you can't say, take me out of your databases entirely. And there's defensible reasons for that. The entire credit system is kind of built on this idea of having these kinds of information on people and having credit monitoring files. But it's still really frustrating for people to realize that, hey, this company has this huge amount of information on me and I can't tell them to delete it.
We are products, I'm sure, in other areas, in other facets, other industries. Do you see other weaknesses out there where people's personal data could be very much compromised, and as we as a product don't have much say over that?
This kind of goes back to that issue about transparency. I think one of the great frustrations for people is that in this era, with the technology, with the social media companies, with any number of other companies, more and more data is being collected, and we don't always know where it's going. And there is certainly an increased push among lawmakers and regulators to force companies to be at least clear about what they're collecting and what they're doing with it. But that's a very imperfect effort that's still in its very early stages.
And you write a lot on consumer issues and privacy and data. Is there anything we can do to protect ourselves from breaches like Equifax?
With breaches, it's very tricky. I mean, the best advice out there is don't reuse passwords and use long, complicated passwords. Passphrases are currently in vogue, so use a sentence, not a word, things like that. But the brutal reality is that there isn't a ton you can do. This really does come down to companies taking their responsibilities seriously to not lose that sensitive information that they possess.
Stacey, as you look forward here and as Equifax goes forward, as Facebook changes its policies, what are you watching for from these companies and so many others as how they go forward and, treat privacy and personal data?
I think that question of transparency is going to be really critical because there's a huge distinction, as we all know, between companies being quote unquote transparent and telling you in teeny little fine print what they're collecting and what they're doing with your data, versus companies making that really clear, really upfront, in really big letters, really early in their user process to let you know what's being done. And I think you see a handful of companies that really live up to that and really do make the effort to tell people what they're doing. Most don't. And it will be interesting to see if these kinds of penalties and action from regulators forces any real change in companies' stance on this.
And perhaps that transparency can impact their bottom line, maybe in a positive way.
Until they see that consumers really, really care about this and are willing to, you know, take their business elsewhere, if they don't feel companies live up to that, it's going to be really hard to get companies to change how they handle that.
Stacy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Stacy Cowley is a finance reporter for the New York Times. She focuses on consumer issues and data security. Coming up, sometimes computer-generated images provides amazing visuals. Other times, it creeps people out. We delve into why new CGI movies are sending some viewers straight to the quote-unquote uncanny valley. We'll learn what that means. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.